relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Hi, this is President Trump, and Sebastian is really a friend of mine. He's a great guy. He's been with me from the beginning. Listen to him. We all learn.
Thank you kindly, Mr. President. Yes, indeed. This is America First. I'm former strategist to President Trump, member of the National Security Education Board, and we are joined every week by one of the few journalists left in America. He is the creator, the editor-in-chief of JustTheNews.com. You can follow him at John Solomon Reports, J Solomon Reports on Twitter. And his podcast is John Solomon Reports, and I think you've had a very special guest. Who was it, John?
Yes, President Trump was just on my podcast a few moments ago, just finished up the interview before I came into the studio here, and he had a lot to say. He talked about China and Taiwan and that Taiwan would not be enduring the intimidation it is undergoing now if he were president, blamed it on the weakness of Joe Biden and his foreign policy failures, and really laced into the Justice Department for announcing last night it was opening investigations into parents who confront school boards over critical race theory, saying that you would think in America parents would have a say over their children's education, what they're being taught, but the left doesn't think that's appropriate.
Yeah, so we're going to share some of the elements of that letter from Attorney General Merrick Garland that is based upon one letter received by the DOJ about...
Remarkable.
Truly remarkable. Alleged threats to teachers or members of school boards. I don't remember anything of this ilk happening during BLM or Antifa, John. You're the reporter. You've got the databases. Did we see a mass unleashing of federal assets and FBI agents after months and months of arson, looting, and even murder?
We didn't. And that was both under President Trump and President Biden. The Justice Department didn't do very much. Now, Barr sent some people to protect buildings, but we didn't see this sort of FBI go out and talk to the people who are creating intimidation and tell them to cut it out routine that we're now seeing here with Merrick Garland. It's a reminder that over the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years, the left particularly and those that sympathize with the left inside these agencies have tried to use the FBI as a political tool, not as a law enforcement tool, but as a political tool, like what happened with Russia collusion, where a bogus story was investigated for 2 or 3 years to hamper the Trump presidency. The continued use of the FBI to settle political scores instead of focus on crimes is not good for America.
But isn't this a qualitatively worse situation, John? We're not by way of excusing it previously, but when you saw the corruption of the likes of Comey, McCabe, Stroke, and everybody else, and Brennan, there was a political nexus. They were trying to take out the person who could defeat Hillary Clinton in an election. Right. So you know, it's evil, but it's understandable. Here, John, we're talking about targeting parents. It's not exactly political, is it?
No, but it is an effort at free speech. And listen, it's a certain type of parent, a parent that subscribes to patriotic education and rejects critical race theory. And so there is a political litmus test when you look at what sort of parents are out there and likely to be targeted by this. It's not the left parents that are sitting silently by or even supporting BLM or things like that. It's centrist parents and conservative parents who don't want their children to be taught America is a racist country when it isn't. And I think that political tinge is inherent in what the Attorney General is asking these agents to do now.
Follow this man, J. Solomon Reports, and JustTheNews.com. Bookmark it. Check it every morning, every evening. I'm just curious, John, because you have such great sources. You know so many people inside D.C., inside these agencies. No names, no pack drill, but are you hearing anything from people who work in the bureaucracy or FBI special agents who say that they're disturbed, John, or is everybody just keeping their head down?
You know, not specific because it's so new, not specific to the order last night, but the larger question of how the FBI has become a political football, how there's a disconnect from its leadership in Washington, which seems to be very partisan and left-leaning, and the rank-and-file members who just want to go out and solve crimes and protect the American people. 99% of the FBI is dedicated to its mission of neutral enforcement of law, protecting America, but they're disturbed by the small number of people that are still out there trying to argue for political investigations, trying to use the power of surveillance to intimidate critics and others in the way of political agendas. And I think that that's something that is deeply disturbing to the men and women of the FBI today.
All right, let's talk about the latest developments from the DOJ that are positive, seemingly. We have the Sussman indictment. I read it. I had to fly to an event last week. I read it again on the plane, and I had my team members. I had Eric counted because I was so stunned. 45 mentions of Hillary Clinton and the Hillary Clinton campaign in 27 pages. So no punches pulled there. We have new subpoenas. I don't want to get anybody excited unnecessarily, but it seems as if there's some meat on this bone from John Durham.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I've been saying for months I've seen signs of activity of a real criminal investigation, actions that were looking like something moving or marching towards an indictment, and one did come out. And then after that indictment against Sussman came out, there's a new round of subpoenas, new interviews going on. This is a thorough and methodical investigation. It's not on a political timeline. It's on a truth timeline. And it has run into many obstacles of people trying to thwart the prosecutors from getting records. There have been subpoena battles behind the scenes. But John Durham, he gets what happened here. He has now laid it very clearly out. Hillary Clinton's campaign committed a political dirty trick to try to stick a bogus Russia allegation on the sitting president of the United States. And she used former government officials with great bona fides, someone like Sussman, former DOJ, Christopher Steele, former MI6, a guy named Dan Jones, former FBI, and all of these guys are flooding the system with collusion allegations that weren't true. It was a sophisticated political dirty trick. John Durham has it, but I don't think we know the whole story yet. A lot more revelations coming in the months ahead.
But is your expectation that these will peter out at the level of a Lisa Page and a Peter Stroke? Or could this implicate people who actually would have had to have given them the orders to propagate the smear campaign?
One part of the investigation that's been very active and not public, but very active behind the scenes, is what did the FBI leadership and what did the actual agents who worked on the FISA warrants, what did they know? Should they have questioned their own FISA warrant? Did they know things in their FISA warrant were false? We saw the one lawyer, Kleinsmith, get charged last year. But there are hints in that indictment that other people knew other things were wrong with that FISA. And I think that part of the investigation is probably the next shoe to fall, even as we follow the Sussman et al. Strategy of just all the Clinton people who are flooding the system with bogus allegations. I think the FBI and how high up in the FBI will be the final hurrah for this investigation. We'll get answers for the first time of who knew what when, and did they really engage at the highest levels of the FBI in a dirty trick?
Well, I'm not John Solomon, but I was so fascinated by what I found in that 47-page indictment that I think Mr. G has convinced me I'm going to sit down and do my own analysis and publish it at SebGorka.com, because the access that Durham had to internal communications between the Hillary campaign, Perkins Coie, and a so-called big tech executive number one, fascinating. Stay with us for more with John Solomon here on America First.
Making sense out of today's news, here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
But
if you hear what these protesters were saying, if you hear what these, and they're not just protesters, they're constituents of Kyrsten Sinema. They are people who supported Kyrsten Sinema. They are people who knocked on doors for Kyrsten Sinema, who feel betrayed, and who are telling their senator their story and why this bill is important to them.
Well, I guess it's all right to harass any senator then in a restroom as they're going to the toilet. By the way, Anna Navarro, you can't be a senator's constituent if you're an illegal alien. They're not their senators because they admit that they're here illegally. I'm Sebastian Gorka, here every single day to give you the news, the truth, the analysis, and push back on the propagandists. We're back with John Solomon. You've got to listen. It's going up in 10 minutes, the latest podcast from John Solomon Reports with President Trump. Follow him at jsolomonreports and bookmark justthenews.com. You sent me earlier today an unbelievable... I don't know how many man hours this took you to research, but... Will you tell us about this story you broke at justthenews.com about the chairman of the quote-unquote insurrection investigative committee?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, for months, weeks now, we've seen Benny Thompson, the Democratic congressman from Mississippi, on television, sympathizing with the police officers who were injured on January 6th during the Capitol riot and denouncing an event that he has repeatedly called an insurrection. But 50 years ago, he was on the opposite side of an insurrectionist movement. Back in 1971, when a group known as the Republic of New Africa was making waves throughout Mississippi. Why? Because the FBI was closely watching as it was trying to put together a movement to take, if necessary by force, land from people in Mississippi, Louisiana, Georgia, South Carolina, and Alabama, and create a separate nation on USL called the Republic of New Africa.
So, you know, just to be explicit here, these are ethnic separatists in America. That's what we're talking about.
Yes, they actually wrote their own Declaration of Independence. They renounced their citizenship in a meeting monitored by the FBI. They engaged in multiple conflicts with police officers, usually doing something lawful, like stopping a car for a traffic incident or executing a search warrant. Three times, members of the RNA group killed a police officer in the early 70s. And Benny Thompson, then a young alderman from a tiny town called Bolton, Mississippi, then known as B.G. Thompson, not even known as Benny, he spoke out in favor of this group, embraced this group, actually suggested that the police were wrong to pursue it and that the police were to blame for the friction that they were creating with this group, and basically embraced a separatist group. After they killed a police officer in August of 1971, police officer executing a search warrant, shot dead, another officer wounded, an FBI agent wounded by RNA members who fired hundreds of rounds out of their home, Benny Thompson joined a news conference with other black leaders in Mississippi and blamed the cops for getting killed, saying it was their fault. Their desire to go after this group led to their deaths. They deserve the blame. That's the Benny Thompson of 50 years ago. And people are going to have to decide, is he pro-cop or not pro-cop? Is he for insurrection or not, or against insurrection, given that he's had a very checkered, different history on this, depending on the date and the moment in time in which he was operating as a politician.
Well, thank you for getting to the bottom of that. Let's post that article right now on our Twitter and Facebook pages. If there are consequences in politics, John, and if conservatives played as hard as the Democrats do, somebody should raise that at the hearing and ask, are you still in favor of ethnically based violent separatism in America? But John, nobody's going to raise that in front of this man, are they?
Well, listen, there are two Republicans, at least by title, on the committee. maybe Lynn Cheney, or we'll ask the question. We'll see. But you know, it should be asked, not for political reasons, but for common sense reasons. Should the man overseeing this very important investigation renounce past ties to a group that that was clearly violent and left a terrible record in America? I think that's a legitimate question, regardless of your political stripe.
Yeah. And one thing we know for sure about this fake committee to investigate a fake insurrection, none of the dozens of people who are incarcerated since January the 6th, or the hundreds who were chased down across this nation, not one, not a single one of those Americans was charged with a crime under the Insurrection Act. Those are the facts of the matter. He's the founder. He is the editor-in-chief at justthenews.com. Thank you, John Solomon. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, do you suffer from daily pain? Have you tried everything else only to fail to find relief? If that's your story, you must try this incredible 100% drug-free product that is providing liberation from pain to tens of thousands of Americans across the country, me included. Yes, I had a lower back pain issue that plagued me for 9 years. Years, almost a decade. I took Relief Factor 2 weeks later. I was pain-free, and I'm still pain-free more than 2.5 years later. But it's not just me. It's people like Yvonne from California. This is Yvonne's story. Both my husband and I are in our 70s and are so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried so many other solutions, but none of them have given us the freedom of being pain-free like Relief Factor. That could be your story. It should be your story. Find out today by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Yvonne, and thousands of your fellow Americans. What have you got to lose except the pain? It costs just $19.95, which translates to less than a dollar a day. Less than a dollar a day? Do it today. Call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
How do you send a very subtle message to those around you with regards to who you are, your identity, and how much you love this country and love your freedoms? How about this? How about a subtle t-shirt that looks like you're one of them? It's got a kind of Planned Parenthood symbol, but you look a little bit closer and it's got a syringe crossed out. And it says, my body, my choice, be free, no vaccine mandates. That's our latest product at the Seb Gorka store. Check it out today. That's SEBGORKA, SebGorkaStore.com, as well as our bestseller, the presidential t-shirt from when he came on our show recently from his rally, his immortal phrase now, if you're woke, you're a loser. Check out all the amazing products at SebGorkaStore.com, including all of my books from Defeating Jihad to The War for America's Soul. That's SebGorkaStore.com. How are we at the second guest of the day already? What a packed show. We will be joined by Jack Posobiec. We'll be joined by the father of one of the Marines killed in Kabul and Eric Metaxas. But now let's go to North Carolina's 11th Congressional District to welcome, I do believe he may be the youngest congressman on Capitol Hill, Madison Cawthorn. Welcome to America First.
Seb, great being on with you, brother. Anything that starts out with America First, you know I love it.
That's the reason why we called it America First, not the Seb Gorka Show. Okay, I asked you in the break, we have this update, the breaking news that they have released Colonel Scheller from the brig. You have spoken to his legal team just a few moments ago. So tell us the latest. What do our listeners across the nation need to know?
Yes, indeed. So I've spoken with several organizations that are involved with Lieutenant Colonel Scheller. And, you know, what's ridiculous is this is a man who stood up and criticized the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan that left 13 service members dead. And because he stood up to this incompetence, he was forced to have a mental health screening. And then, Sebastian, he has been stuck in solitary confinement in Camp Lejeune. It's terrible, but right now he's going to be heading to a court-martial very soon. It's going to be closed door, so you can take that on its surface for how it's going to be. Probably a gag order going to come down. And, you know, even as a member of Congress, I can't even go in there to try and defend him. It's ridiculous the amount of obscurity the Biden administration is wanting to have in this situation.
So a member of Congress can't go to the court-martial of Colonel Scheller?
That is absolutely correct, which I think is an incredible shame. Even when it's in my home state of North Carolina, just a couple hours east of me. It's terrible, but I think we can all realize what that means, is that it's going to be he's going to be railroaded by the higher-ups. And, you know, I understand that if somebody is going to speak out against their commanding officers, they have to be let out of the military. That makes sense. But he does not need to be prosecuted by our government for attacking people while we still allow having, you know, these terrible generals who went and testified on Capitol Hill and their feeble responses trying to dodge questions about why did we give up our air base in Afghanistan? Why did we remove all our troops like this? Why did we give $86 billion of weaponry to the Taliban, a country that hates us? Why did we spend 20 years over in Afghanistan to replace the Taliban with the Taliban? It's insane.
Yeah, and a man who is being court-martialed, despite the fact that after he made that video, he handed in his commission, he resigned his commission effective September the 11th, and we're already in October. Follow this man at Rep Cawthorn right now. Congressman, big tech, a phony whistleblower on Capitol Hill. Is this just another attempt to criminalize conservatives and see more censorship on social media?
Sebastian, this is why I like you so much. You just say it like it is. This is absolutely a psychological operation that the big tech and big government are trying to do right now to try and, you know, have this whistleblower that comes out. But, you know, if a whistleblower from Project Veritas comes out, they get banned off all social media and attacked by in every single aspect of their lives. But right now what's going on is they're trying to be able to limit our First Amendment rights. And I understand many people will say, oh, but aren't these private industries? Well, the problem is this is the new town square.
Yeah.
And just like you wouldn't want one person in command of the water for all 330 million Americans, you don't want one person as the arbiter of truth for everything that can be said in America.
Yeah, no, absolutely. This is a monopoly. It is a cartel, and they need to be broken up or to lose their 230 immunities. Madison, tell us.
Sebastian, one more thing on that. You know, I'm sure you noticed when Facebook and Telegram and WhatsApp and all of these social media giants went down yesterday. You know, I think we have some major vulnerabilities in this situation. I think we need to have some better understanding of what's going on in these big tech companies, because I believe it was in an effort to try and silence the Taiwanese, who are calling out the fact that they're about to be invaded by China. And the fact that the American military, the American Navy, is not doing a damn thing about it. Joe Biden should be ashamed.
More than 50 communist Chinese aircraft in free Taiwanese airspace yesterday. And, yeah, interesting question. Nobody could use Facebook or Instagram to talk about it. We've got just over a minute left. I know it's close to your heart. Is there going to be any resolution to the sheer insanity, the catastrophe at the border? Are any of these images of the thousands and thousands of Haitians, the images from Del Rio, will they create any difference in terms of the policy coming out of the White House?
I don't believe it will. I mean, this is really a state-sponsored and really the largest state-sponsored human trafficking operation in the history of the world, I believe. I mean, you see right now that you have these human traffickers, you have these coyotes who traffic people across the border, who are now literally saying, as reported by Axios, that they are trying to sell to these would-be migrants who are hesitant, saying, oh, no, 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 Joe Biden has open border policies, you can go. So this completely falls at his lap. All of the human tragedy that's going on at our southern border is completely wrong. I think we need to halt all immigration until we can get a handle on what's going on at our southern border and fix our immigration system. We need to watch out for Americans, and that's our entire duty.
He has a way with words. I'm going to use that with your permission. It is, without a doubt, the largest government-sponsored case of human trafficking in the world. And that government, sadly, is the Biden regime. Follow him at cawthorn.house.gov and on Twitter at Rep Cawthorn. Thank you, Congressman. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that is liberal. Liberating tens of thousands of Americans across the country from their pain, me included. But it's not just me. It's people like Reggie from Florida. This is Reggie's story. I have a lot of pain from aging. And after only 4 days of using Relief Factor, I'm already experiencing less pain and stiffness. Can't wait to see how I feel in a couple more weeks. Relief Factor is the blessing sent by God. Incredible words. They could apply to you. You could be the next success story. But there's only one way to find out, and it's a super simple way. You just go to relieffactor.com. You order the three-week quick starter pack. It'll be at your house in 3 days or less. You take it morning and evening, just like I do. And I promise you, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Reggie, and thousands of your fellow Americans. That's Dr. G's guarantee. You know it makes sense. You've waited long enough. What have you got to lose? Accept the pain. Just $19.95. That translates to less than a dollar a day. What can you get for less than a dollar a day? Nothing. Except potential liberation from your pain. Call today. 800-500-8384. That number. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
It's incredible. Just over a month ago, feels like months ago, we watched for days the appalling footage of America surrendering in Afghanistan, of hundreds of thousands of people trying to escape, clinging to planes, clinging so desperately that they actually fell to their deaths from some of our military transports. And then, of course, the double suicide attack that took 13 brave Americans, mostly Marines. I want to keep that memory alive. I want us to talk about that event, not to file it away, not to forget about it, but to discuss it in terms of what it means for the state of America today and also the state of our armed forces under a new leadership that doesn't understand what it is doing. To that end, I am honored to be joined today by somebody who came on my Newsmax show, the Gorka Reality Check, a few weeks ago. He is the father of the eldest individual killed in Kabul, Staff Sergeant Taylor Hoover of the Marine Corps. Darren Hoover, welcome to America First.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me.
I don't want to do a standard interview here. I just want to have you talk about who your son was, what motivated him to join the Corps, and then let's just zoom out and talk about the last few weeks and your reaction to what you're seeing come out of this administration, which is supposed to be in charge of our military. So first, would you say a little bit about your son, Taylor Hoover? Give us some color, give us some understanding of who your son was.
My son was a consummate gentleman from a very young age, and his mom had to remind me of this when he was playing with those little toy soldiers. He didn't call them soldiers, he called them Marines. And I had forgotten that. But Taylor had a heart of gold. He always stood up for the little guy. If he saw somebody being bullied or whatever, during school or after school, he would step in the middle of it and he'd stop it. He helped out around the house quite a bit with me working all the hours that I did. He basically became our little man child with his sisters and helping out his mom. And he grew into quite the young man, as you can well imagine. September 11th came along, 2001. He was 11 years old, and right then and there, he decided that he was going to serve. He didn't know how, but that he was going to serve.
So the age of 11, 9/11 occurs, and that's when your son makes the decision that sometime in the future, he's going to serve our nation in uniform. And then how did he choose upon the Marine Corps?
The recruiters were coming to his high school, And like I said, from his young age, those little toy plastic soldiers were never, ever soldiers.
They were never GIs. They were Marines for your son, Taylor.
Right, right.
Was there a Marine background history in the family, in the Hoover family?
There's not, actually. My dad is a Korean War vet from the Army, and that's about as far as it goes.
Okay, so he's 11 years old, 9/11 hits. He knows he's playing with his plastic GIs, but he calls them Marines. He ends up in the Marine Corps serving just... Look, closest to my heart, I spent 2.5 years in Quantico myself teaching the Marines. He gave the ultimate measure. He sacrificed his life for his fellow man. Would you give us your reaction? And please, you know, say whatever's on your heart. When you hear words from the man in the White House who says from the podium in the White House, Mr. Hoover, that the decision to leave Kabul, to surrender Afghanistan, was the right decision, it was the best decision. Your reaction?
You know, yes, we needed to get out of that conflict. There's no doubt that war has gone on long enough. However, the right decision, the right way, I'm sorry, but me and my pet monkey could have done a better job than that. You know, it begs the question to me personally, why on earth this one thing that they kept from the prior administration? They'd done away with everything else President Trump had done in his administration.
Yeah.
Why this one thing? Why keep this one thing and make it the unmitigated disaster that it became? Why? At what cost? 13 lives of our military, 18 more seriously injured that are still recovering and will still recover for the rest of their lives, plus the countless Afghan citizens that lost their lives that day.
Yeah.
Was it worth it? They're trying to get their freedom. Our sons and daughters are trying to assist them in doing that, only to have our government walk away and leave them and have my son and his fellow Marines, that Navy corpsman and the staff sergeant from the Army, killed doing what they love, which is defending this country from all enemies, foreign and domestic. Yes, they were foreign, but they wanted out of that hellhole so bad. And our sons and daughters were trying to help them get out.
Dear friends, the Marines who served with and knew Taylor Hoover, Staff Sergeant in the Marine Corps, have set up a GoFundMe page. It's at the bottom of our video right now, the full URL. If you're listening on radio across the nation, just go to GoFundMe.com and look for the Memorial Fund U.S. Marine Staff Sergeant Taylor Hoover. God bless you, Mr. Hoover. We want to keep their names alive. We want to memorialize their sacrifice to this nation. Semper Fidelis. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you from the Salem Radio Network and the ReliefFactor.com studios just outside the insalubrious swamp that is Washington, D.C. Relief Factor, if you are in daily pain, if you fail to find relief anywhere else, you've got to try this 100% drug-free product that is liberating tens of thousands of Americans every single day from their pain, me included. But it's not just me. It's people like Debron from Massachusetts. This is her story. I just started taking Relief Factor 4 days ago. My hip pain is gone. I had a horrible time sleeping because of the pain. I absolutely love how I am feeling. Thank you, Relief Factor. That should be your story, and it could be your story. Find out today. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do, and I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you, like it works for me, Debron, and thousands of your fellow Americans. Call today, 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
America First.
Can you believe it? They are saying that they don't agree with America First. How do you say that?
Magnificent.
Welcome back, dear friends. This is the Salem Radio Network, and I'm your host, Sebastian Gorka, member of the National Security Education Board, former strategist to President Trump, and delighted, honored to have with us. You know me, I'm not a big fan of senators in general. Most of them have egos that, well, let's just say this, if they jumped off their ego onto their IQ, it would be instant death. There are exceptions. We love Marsha Blackburn. There are others. And today we have one of those exceptions. Proudly serving the great state of Wisconsin, Senator Ron Johnson. Welcome to America First.
Well, Sebastian, I hope you're well.
I am indeed fighting fit because we have a republic to save, and you are one of the people who is doing his darndest to make that happen. Lots of things I want to discuss with you, the latest developments with the Durham probe and everything else. But close to your heart, anybody who goes to your Twitter feed, Sen Ron Johnson, that's Sen Ron Johnson, sees that you are battling the mandate, the vaccine mandate. I've said it on this show. I've had COVID. I'm not afraid of any variants, and you are going to have to arrest me and tie me down to vaccinate me. I am not afraid of this disease. Will you talk to us from your perspective on Capitol Hill, from your constituents in Wisconsin? How much of a constitutional threat to the republic is this idea of mandated vaccines, Senator?
Well, it's a huge constitutional threat, but it's also a threat to our military readiness as well as our healthcare system. Now, I really want to focus on the heroes, the doctors, the nurses that had the courage and compassion to treat COVID. So many of them caught COVID. Some unfortunately died, tragically died. Most survived. And now many of them are witnessing vaccine injuries. And especially, I'm sure you're like me, I was a big supporter of Operation Warp Speed.
Yes.
But I'm also the champion of Right to Try. And a corollary of that is right to refuse. Nobody should be pressured, coerced, or fear reprisal for not accepting any medical treatment, including the COVID vaccines. And you fast forward it to current science, you know, unfortunately, these vaccines are not 100% effective. They are not 100% safe. But we're close to 16,000 deaths on the VAERS system reported in 10, 11 months. 5,200 of those, about a third, occurred on days 0, 1, and 2. Now, the CDC, the FDA, completely ignoring that. They're blowing off their own safety surveillance system. But we also now know that even if you're vaccinated, you can get infected with COVID. You can transmit COVID. So what's the rationale for the mandate?
But not only again, that, Senator, if you actually look at the science, which we are told daily is what the CDC does, you look at nations like Israel that have almost total vaccination, they have higher rates of transmissal than those who have natural immunity. You have factors of greater disease attainment and transmissal than those who've had it already and don't transmit it. So why are we the science deniers when you look at the data and it is clear natural immunity is more effective than a vaccine? And on top of that, there are people with conditions that preclude them from taking a vaccine or could endanger them. So at the end of the day, what is the right response? Is this going to be state by state? Is this going to have to be court cases? Because we're seeing medical workers, first responders, police officers saying, I'm not doing this. So where does this end, Senator Johnson?
Well, I hope that individuals stick up for personal liberty and freedom, but they are under such duress. People can't afford to lose their job, their livelihood, their health care. And that's what this divisive mandate is creating. And again, we already have a severe health care worker and nursing shortage. Now, I had held a roundtable this last week, and nurses were reporting that people were literally dying in the emergency room because there were not enough people to take care of them, needlessly dying. You're going to exacerbate that. The first nurses you're going to lose are the baby boomers. Again, they're treating vaccine injuries. They're not going to take the jab. And so they will just retire. And then other people will quit. And I think you'll find out, I think the governor of New York will find out, as wonderful as National Guard medics are, they don't have 20 years experience
right,
like a nurse has in a particular specialty. This is going to do great deal of harm to our healthcare system, but just our civic discourse. Now, I read an email I got from a nurse. She's a nursing professor. And as they were discussing the faculty lounge, you know, how they were not going to make any accommodations for their students, one of the faculty members said, just let them try and get another career. And they laughed. And the writer emphasized, think of that for a minute.
Yeah.
They laughed. They laughed at the crushing of their students' dreams. That is how caustic. That's how divisive. They're calling each other. They're calling unvaxxed killers in the hospital. That's why. That's one of the many reasons these mandates need to end.
Yeah. Look, let's talk about what you mentioned right at the beginning, Senator. We're talking to Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. The military, our combat effectiveness. There are reports of up to 100 SEALs from the Naval Special Warfare Development Group who are refusing the vaccinations. If that happens, if they leave the service, we will be endangered because of a universal mandate, Senator.
Precisely. What about pilots? You know, the myocarditis, which the FDA is actually concerned about, they ought to be concerned about all these deaths, the blood clots and everything else. That could make it quite unsafe for pilots piloting these high-performance jets. So, again, we're not thinking this thing through. And, again, if we just have mass resignation or mass terminations, you know, throughout all kinds of industries, it's going to be devastating for our economy as well. So, and, again, for what reason? If even vaccinated, you can get infected, you can transmit. And, you know, quite honestly, there is rationale in terms of why you might transmit at a higher level, because you're walking around, you're not particularly sick, because the vaccination does reduce severity of symptoms, does reduce chance of death, which means if you're infected, we're already knowing with the Delta variant, you have a higher viral load, a much higher one.
Right.
So you're walking around, not particularly sick. You may be a super transmitter. You know, again, we don't know. We can't even ask those questions, Sebastian.
Can you help us? I mean, you're on the front line of this issue. Have you divined what's going on here? Because I don't want to fall into the conspiracy theory trap or this is just billions of dollars for Pfizer and whatever. Is this a function of risk aversion? Have you understood what's behind this fascistic approach? Is it just, well, we're going to tell you what to do because we're the government? Why is this administration being the most illiberal administration in American history?
It's literally the $64,000 question. I mean, again, they like a state of fear because that does help them control your life. But well, you know, I was a strong advocate for early treatment.
Yes.
I never understood why we didn't robustly explore a cornucopia of repurposed drugs. The doctors are using, they believe successfully, their patients believe it's been successful. And yet our NIH guideline continues to be do nothing until you're so sick and hopefully we can save your life in the hospital. So, you know, that made no sense. Is it because these drugs are pennies a pill versus now this molnupiravir, which some of my doctor friends are calling money pyravir, is like $700 a treatment?
Wow.
You know, if there was an effective treatment, you couldn't get emergency use authorization on the vaccines. Is that what's going on here? I mean, I don't know. There is such a desire on the part, particularly of liberals, to put a shot in every arm. I had people warning about mass vaccination into a pandemic. Vaccination into previously infected or currently infected. We don't test people for antibodies or asymptomatic current infections. Why have we taken such a cavalier attitude towards safety with these vaccines? You know, allow, again, right to try. Allow people that want it under emergency use to have access to it, those that are most vulnerable. Why would we ever think of pushing this on kids? We don't know the long-time safety profile. We don't.
Yeah.
We rushed approval. We did not have to prove this. It has emergency use authorization. We didn't need approval. And we short-circuited the time it takes to observe long-term safety signals.
And
so none of this makes sense.
And merely the fact that we have a mortality rate of children in America from coronavirus of 0.05 makes any vaccination just utterly, utterly unscientific. We're talking to Senator Ron Johnson. Follow him, ronjohnson.senate.gov, and on Twitter, at SenRonJohnson. Last question to you. We've got just over a minute. I know you've been very hot on this issue as well. There are more subpoenas. There's been one indictment from John Durham. Is this finally going to be the first real judicial consequence of the Russia hoax? Are you optimistic or still pessimistic?
Well, I was very frustrated with John Durham that he didn't report before the election because I think the American people need to see it. But I am very encouraged by this Michael Sussman indictment. I encourage all your readers, read all 27
yes.
pages. It just lays out exactly what the Hillary Clinton campaign was doing, how corrupt they were, literally how corrupt the FBI had to be. They knew who Michael Sussman was. They should have at least asked the question, yeah. Not take his lie on full faith. So So, no, it lays it out, and I think there's a lot more to come.
All right. Well, I've mentioned on this show just this week, I read the whole 27 pages, chapter and verse. They have this man banged to rights. Will anybody else pay the price? That is the second $64,000 question. Thank you, Senator Johnson. Can't wait to have you in studio. Keep fighting the good fight, especially to stop this medical apartheid. It is absolutely wrong, especially for those with conditions that negate their capacity to take the vaccine, and especially our children who must be protected. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, across the nation from LA to New York. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, stay on this channel.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.